If you're saved today, if you're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and me and anybody else that's saved ought to be thrilled by what we just heard. Because all of us who are saved in this room, if you are not Jewish, are a Gentile. And so what we've heard in the reading of the word this morning has to do, it pertains to every one of us in this room. I don't know that we have any Jews in here this morning. I think we're all Gentiles. And so it pertains to everyone seated in this auditorium today. You see, up until this point, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ had not gone out to the Gentiles. It had only gone out to the Jews. And there were a certain number of the Jewish people who Paul and Peter and other people called Judaizers. And Judaizers were this group of Jews who thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was only sent to them and to nobody else. And if you notice, some of those Judaizers came and confronted Peter, because Peter had gone into those old Gentiles' houses, amen? And they came out to confront him. And Peter had gone to Cornelius' house. And Cornelius is very important to all of us because he's the first of many Gentiles who came into the Lord Jesus Christ, who was saved during the church age. One of the first Gentiles ever saved was Cornelius, his friends, and some of his family members. First Gentiles to come into the church, receive the gift of salvation. Now, friend, that ought to be something that thrills your soul today. Amen? Because they sort of paved the way for all the rest of us. And we receive Christ. But here's the proof that I want you to know about what the Bible's saying this morning. The proof is that Peter, and not just himself, but six other people. What's 1 + 6? What's the perfect number? Amen. Peter and six of his brethren, six church members with him into this Gentile's house, because he wanted some witnesses. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen? Amen. It's always good to have at least one or two witnesses, but in this case, we had six witnesses, and if you count Peter himself, we got seven witnesses that the Gentiles had been called unto faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? One day, Cornelius, who was considered an infidel in those that are of the Jewish faith, considered Cornelius nothing more than an infidel. Now, we've been called infidels in the day in which we live because we're Christian people. By other religions and by secular humanists and so forth, we're just common old infidel Gentiles in the eyes of other religions and the world today. Just like Cornelius was considered an infidel in Jews' eyes, along with his associates, along with his friends, and with his family. As far as the Jews were concerned, they were nothing. In the eye of the Jew, they could not be saved. In the eye of the Jew, they were nothing more than little dogs under the table. But friends, I'm here to tell you this morning that they were much more than that after this great account in which we've heard today from God's Word. After this account of Cornelius hearing God's Word, friends, they were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they were saved. You know, what Peter and these associates of his did, they dropped a bomb on the Jewish people that were saved under the blood of Christ themselves. They dropped a huge bomb on them that day. And I was thinking, if Peter had not been in tune with God, if he had not been in tune with the Holy Spirit, if he had just been out there doing his Jewish thing, if he had been a member of one of these Judaizers, what would have happened? What would have happened? How could God have used him? Well, friends, he couldn't have used them. If he hadn't been under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the power of the Holy Ghost that indwelt his soul, then we may not be here today. We'd just be another bunch of infidels. Hopefully and thankfully, Peter was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I submit to you today, friends, we need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. Something else, if all this had not happened, chances are, brothers and sisters in Christ, you probably wouldn't be here in this place today. And you know why? Because most of the Jews were perfectly satisfied with keeping Jesus Christ all for themselves and settling into the idea of making Christianity just another Jewish sect that was like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I got to thinking about that. You know, there's a whole lot of Christian people in the 21st centuries that are very Pharisaic and very Sadducaic. There's a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees in the 21st century church. And I'm not going to chase that down the path too far, but I just want to bring that up to you today, because we're not supposed to be Pharisaic. Oh, yeah, we're a bunch of Pharisees, but I want to tell you what I am and what you should be. We are recovering Pharisees. We were introduced to some of the Jews who were of the circumcision. They really thought they were high and mighty. And Peter came back from Jerusalem, from this Cornelius's house, and all those that were of the circumcision came out to meet him and to contend with him for what he'd done. They came out to contend with him. In other words, this group of the circumcision came out to let him have it. We're going to give him a piece of our mind. They unloaded both barrels on Peter because of what he had done. And Paul had dealt with these Judaizers too before. Paul had dealt with them. He's the one that started calling them Judaizers in the first place, because here's the problem. They were a real pain in the neck. Amen? Maybe, perhaps, they were even a pain in his side. You remember he had a thorn in his side, didn't he? We don't know what that thorn was, but just perhaps that these Judaizers were that thorn in the side of Paul, and also now we find out that it was in the side of Peter as well. Both of these apostles had to deal with the wrath of the Judaizers. Anyway, the old saying goes, and maybe you've had this happen to you before, but the old saying goes that news travels fast. And sure enough, the news got back to Jerusalem before Peter even got there, that he had been in the house of these Gentile people. And I got to thinking about that. And that reminds me of Las Casas and Auburn Town and Canesville and Murfreesboro and Beech Grove and any other little nook and cranny that you can think of. It reminds me of those places, because news travels fast in those places. Amen? These Judaizers were ready to waylay Peter. They came at him with their claws out when he got back home. How dare you go in these Gentiles' houses? How dare you leave us here in Jerusalem in the first place and go to them? How dare you go and eat in their houses? I bet you had a ham sandwich while you were there. Who do you think you are, Peter? Of course, that's my interpretation. I really don't know if they had a ham sandwich or not. But I'll tell you what, if they did, Peter said this, a hog is a wonderful creature. I said a hog is a wonderful creature. especially when it comes to you in the form of ham and bacon and shoulder and barbecue, friend, a hog is a wonderful creature. Peter, how could you do this? Why did you do this? And I like the way Peter handled it. Hey, Peter handled it better than LL Cool, whoever in the world his name is, ever handled anything. He was as cool as a cat. He could have let them have it right back, right? He could have said, well, who do you think you are? Do you know who I am? I'm Peter the Rock. I've walked on water for a couple of steps. But that's more than you ever walked on any water. Hey, I walked with Jesus. I was in his inner circle. Who do you think you are? Do you know who you're talking to? But he didn't do that, did he? Did not do that. All he did was love on them. He handled it with love. He simply took the facts one by one, named them, expounded on the matter from the beginning to the end, one fact after another fact, one by one, and he didn't ever raise his voice when he did it. He did that because he knew the facts don't lie. Friends, the facts don't lie. Especially these facts, because these facts were the facts that came directly from God himself. And God sure can't lie. Just in case, though, he took a few of his brothers with him. Let them witness all this. Six of the brothers also experienced the Holy Ghost falling on Cornelius and the friends of his and his family. And he took them, and they were ready to back Peter up on any of these things had it started an argument. These six experienced that Holy Ghost meeting with Cornelius. It was a done deal. Gentiles were saved. Gentiles came into the family of God. Gentiles were added to the church. And the evidence was that the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon these Gentiles. And the Judaizers couldn't do anything except what they did. What did they do? Do you remember? They accepted it. That's because the fact of what Jesus Christ did for every person that comes to faith on that cross. His death, his burial, his resurrection is for all people. Everyone who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Were then, are now, and forever will be saved. If they come by faith, they'll be saved. Friends, Peter didn't have to pull any punches. Peter didn't have to get in any arguments with them. All Peter had to do was state the facts and let the facts speak for themselves. And you know what? Something else that I'm reminded of? The Lord Jesus Christ said that all this was going to happen. He prophesied it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." That right there is where you and I come in. We're of the uttermost parts of the earth. We're in Las Casas, Tennessee. How more uttermost part of the earth can it get than Las Casas, unless it's Gum or Hoodoo or Nat Hill or someplace like that? And he said, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I just say thank you, Jesus. Thank God that we've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit came into our hearts. Does that make us perfect? doesn't make us perfect, it just makes us spirit-filled. And when we're spirit-filled, even though we are, we still have to deal with the flesh. We still have the tendency to do what's wrong. But the difference is when we do what's wrong, when we're spirit-filled, we know it. Amen? When salvation comes in, friends, the gift of the Holy Spirit indwells us. At that moment, we don't have to wait for some special indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It comes to us when we're saved. It happens that way every time. No exceptions whatsoever. Every time he comes the same way to everyone who's saved. Because the ground's level at the cross. He doesn't save one person one way and another another. He doesn't say, well, I'll see you in a few days. Friend, when you're saved, brother, you're saved. Amen? And the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. And you're a new person. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Are you getting happy this morning? I'll stand on my head if I need to. If you don't believe me, just ask Connie. She'll tell you. Those are the ones who get the Holy Ghost, the ones that are saved, the ones that are under the blood. Whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing else, period, exclamation mark. If you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. All they could do is agree with him because he stated the facts. They understood that these Gentiles were saved. And today we need to understand the enormity of what you've just witnessed through the Scriptures. You've heard the most shocking, the most profound statement in Jewish history right here in the reading of Acts 11, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. You've heard something so profound because you heard something that should have been understood in Judaism from the get-go, that they were put here on this earth to spread the good news of God and the Son and the Holy Spirit to a lost and dying world. That was their mission in the first place. And what you've heard of the Scriptures today is them finally, after eons of time, realizing that they had it wrong, that God is for all people. That Jesus came to die on the cross for everyone. They'd heard this guy named Jonah go to a bunch of Gentiles and preach a message of repentance. But you know what? Jonah went kicking and screaming. He didn't want to go. And after he preached the message, he wasn't happy in the Holy Spirit either. He went and sat under a juniper tree and cried for about 10 hours. Because he'd had to go preach the good news and God to a bunch of Gentiles. He didn't get it either. Friends, it's simple. God is for everybody. No one in this world that's ever been born could not have been saved. Everyone could be saved. Now everything's set, right? Let the church roll on. Isn't that what you'd think? Well, that's what we'd think, but not so fast. You know how long it took after that just to get this ball rolling? Because of all the prejudice that was in the heart of the Jewish people? You know how long it took? It took at least 10 more years. 10 more years before they let go and let God. Acts 11, 18, they finally admit what God was telling them all along. Gentiles need God too, and they can have him too. Now everything's set. Let the church roll on. Nope, 10 more years. More prejudice has to be gotten away. They need to be humbled down just a little bit more. Peter had convinced some of the Jews that God said centuries ago that prejudice needs to be torn down and gotten out of here. God had laid the groundwork through apostolic ministry and through apostolic authority at this time, and it took a long time before the foundation for the first Gentile church was laid. God had to do some groundwork. He had to get the ground ready. He had to do some plowing and some disking. He had to remove a bunch of stones that were in the way. He had to smooth out the ground before the planting was done. And then, and only then, could the church roll on. And boy, has it ever rolled on up until this point in history. It has. But let me tell you something. It was a long time from Pentecost to that day when Peter had this confrontation with the Jewish people, the Judaizers. A long time. But it was even longer, really, if you stop and think about it. The Garden of Eden is where it started. And it finally got to Peter on this day. And they got it right. After all that time, the gospel went out to us, to Gentiles, to Gentile people. Friend, I can even put it to you more poignantly. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He's for you today. Now, that's really tragic that it took all that long for people to get the message right, isn't it? Because you think about it. All that time when the Jewish people were supposed to be giving out the good news of the Lord Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, all that time that they wasted, just think of the people that might have been saved. But yet, because of the procrastination and the stubbornness of who God sent to this world to spread the good news, a lot of people went by the wayside. I heard David Jeremiah say something that was very interesting. I was listening to him this morning, and he said one of the things that we need to get out of our system is procrastination. He said when God lays it on your heart to do something, and you know it's God speaking to your heart, and you put it off for a week or a month or a year or two or three years, he said, do you know whose time that is in the middle? That's the devil's time. Because he's going to work on you. He's going to deceive you. He's going to use everything that he can use to make you not do what God's called you to do in the first place. Isn't that something? Isn't that a great statement? How true it is. When God tells you to do something, you need to do it. That goes for getting saved, too. Because God may be telling somebody in this place right now that you need to be saved. And if you put it off, then the next time the Holy Spirit comes to you, it may not be quite as urgent. And if you keep putting that salvation off, then the Spirit will be less. And until the day that you've put it off so long that you're not going to ever be saved. Or it's going to be an absolute miracle. It is a miracle anyway, but it's really going to be a miracle because you've put your salvation off. And I want to tell you, I'm thankful that God sent His Son to this world. And that's what it finally took for Peter to have this moment. That's the groundwork that had to be laid in order for evangelism and for evangelists and preachers and churches to spring up, and that the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us went out to the whole world. And that's why we're here this morning. Church, we are the result of Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Really through the end of the chapter, but we'll get to that tonight. We need to be thankful for that, church. We need to be thanking the Lord every moment of our lives, thanking Him for what He did for us if we're in Christ, thanking Him for the salvation that we've received through Christ. Now listen to me. If you're lost today, you need to be found today. you need to be saved today. And then when you are saved today, by God's grace, through faith alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, you need to thank God every day of your life for what He's done for you. Because it took thousands of years before God would make stubborn man understand it, that whosoever will can be saved, and that everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved.